Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Barbershop Group Podcast. I am Charles. I'll be your host for today, and it'll be a monologue, just me talking about some personal experiences and some experiences of other people who I happen to observe over my life. I'll talk a little bit about some corporate experiences that were pretty interesting, as well as some personal things. So, you know, guys, continuing on, you know, we focus a lot on men. We focus a lot on mental health. We focus a lot on the identity of men, whatever, you know, that means for you. We just focus on kind of like where guys are going, where they came from, what their personal view of themselves are, esteem and things of that nature. So today I want to talk to you guys about maturity and setbacks. You know, a lot of us are familiar with this notion of the alpha male. And I won't get into the long history of how that term came about. I think that in some regards, it's got some validity to it, but in other regards, it's complete hogwash. And in fact, if you were speaking with somebody who was working in mental health, they would rarely ever reference something like the words alpha male. It's just not something that people talk about. It's a thing that maybe armchair sociologists discuss. It's a thing that people discuss when they're talking about gender and politics, things like that. But it's not something that health practitioners discuss, okay? So keep that in mind. However, today I'm going to talk a little bit about the alpha male, and I'm going to talk about the opposite of the alpha male. You know, we all know hard-charging young men that have, you know, planted their foot firmly on the gas pedal. They're seeing life and they're just 100 miles an hour forward or more. They don't care what's in their path. They are going forward. You know, they do this in their personal lives. They do this in their professional lives. Many of you, if you've worked a lot of corporate jobs, you probably have come across an individual who was very crass in nature. An individual who seemed like they had an A-type personality, somebody who was just a go-getter, very aggressive. In fact, we know, guys, that there are a lot of women out there who claim that they actually like that type of guy. But there's a little bit of a problem with that, and I won't mention it right now. But yeah, it becomes a little bit conflicting. So, you know, these alpha guys, man, a lot of times they're doing what they think others want them to do. You know, if you're talking about somebody in the military, somebody in corporate America, the boss gives them an assignment. The boss tells them that they need to carry out a mission or do something, and they know it's wrong. They know it's going to negatively impact people. Nevertheless, they put their heads down and they just churn through it all. Feelings aside, they do, quote unquote, what they have to do. Some of you have maybe been in that position before. I know I have. And at the time when I was doing it, I really didn't think that there was anything wrong with it. I rationalized just, you know, the benefits. I looked at the upside of things and you know, put aside those things that would negatively impact myself or other people. But, you know, a lot of these guys have been influenced by the parents, maybe by peers. Definitely, if you're talking about the workplace, you know, they're influenced by leaders in the workplace, by the promises that leaders give them, whether that's a promotion or more money or some type of accolades. You know, it's funny. I recently had a conversation with someone who worked for a former company that I worked for. And this conversation involved some individuals that we both knew. And the guy said, hey, you know, have you talked to so-and-so lately? And I said, no, I have absolutely no contact with this individual. And he said, well, that's good because, you know, the guy's turned into a dickhead. And I just shook my head like, yeah, I believe that. And he was like, wow, what do you mean? Is this not shocking to you? And I said, no, you know, there are a lot of younger guys out there who, if they want to climb the corporate ladder, they have to be dickheads, or they think that they have to be dickheads. In fact, if you want to talk about toxic masculinity and the problem of male identity in the workplace, I can tell you one of the things that's been taught to a lot of us guys is that that's the kind of person that we had to be in order to climb the ladder. We couldn't be a team player. We couldn't allow other individuals to share their input and maybe let some other people make some decisions and things like that. No, we had to be the person out front. We had to be the person calling the shots. It had to be my way. I've got to get the recognition for it, and I've got to beat my chest. That's the way we often see promotions and stuff like that happening for guys. And so, you know, somebody who goes to a corporate meeting and is told we need to reduce labor or we need to whip the people in shape and stuff like that, if he wants to impress the people in the corporate office, he's going to go back to his location. And you know what? He's going to do whatever he feels necessary in order to keep food on the table for his family, in order to impress his bosses, in order to keep making those flights out to the corporate office, and stay in the good graces of the people who sign off on his checks. Yeah, a lot of us have done that. And a lot of us are probably still doing that, thinking that there's no other way for us to be. It's a very, very scary thing to consider that, wait, maybe I don't have to be this way. Maybe I don't have to put on that costume of the alpha male in order to get the things that I want in life, in order to take care of my family the way that I would like to, in order to be promoted or something like that. And I got to tell you, you know, guys, if this is you or if this is somebody you know, maybe it's time to reconsider. You know, a lot of these guys, they've got goals, but a lot of their goals are superficial goals, man. You know, yeah, you talk about emotionally stunted. A lot of them are emotionally stunted. And we know that this type of individual is going to attempt to control everything in every relationship that they're in, whether it's an intimate relationship or other than that. Okay, now, there's a caveat. I can tell you that there are certain individuals who are this way, and they're only this way when they are in, say, the workforce, when they're in the workplace. But when they go home, they're a little different. And personally, I got to tell you that that's a problem too. You know, trying to split yourself in half, be one way with the people you work with and be another way with the people at home, isn't very healthy. If you try to do that over a long time, it's going to have a negative psychological impact. So, you know, just keep that in mind. And like I said, I could go on and on about those experiences. A lot of you guys have had those experiences. And some of you out there still, you know, some of you out there are still trying as much as possible to be the alpha guy. Okay. Some of you out there are trying your best to be the alpha leader, the best man out front. And, you know, I'm not telling you, I don't want to demotivate you, but I think that if you're talking about living a healthy life, there's some things that you need to consider. So, you know, as a consequence, men like those alpha guys or quote unquote alpha guys, right? They are obsessed with superficial things. But the good news is that if we can recognize these symptoms, and if somebody wants to change, you know, they may be ready to mature into something else, a whole different kind of man, a man that I like to refer to as the Alpha Wolf, right? You know, an essential catalyst for that type of change usually comes from a personal experience, a wounding personal experience. So, for example, you know, let's say you were overlooked for a promotion. You feel redundant in the workplace or redundant in your personal relationship, right? Or maybe you lost a friend. And I like, if you've listened to some of the other podcasts, I talk about losing two people, three people that had a huge impact on my life. One being my buddy Matt, who he and I both struggled with addiction long ago. And unfortunately, man, Matt, rest in peace. Matt succumbed to that addiction some years ago. You know, I had a cousin who I used to confide in quite a bit about relationships and work and children and everything like that. And unfortunately, she passed away very early. And it was a complete shock to myself and to my family. She was like my sister cousin. And so, you know, when you experience stuff like that, sometimes these wounds can cause other things to happen in your life, cause other shifts to happen in your life. I've talked about losing an uncle of mine who was just a stellar guy, a smooth, awesome, intelligent guy, who from the time I was small was always imparting some type of wisdom to me. And so when you go through those type of experiences, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it causes awakening. You know, ultimately the true test is how we face these failures, how we face these personal woundings, and how we deal with our emotions. But it's not just about how we deal with our emotions. It's also about, like, not labeling ourselves as weak or deficient or any of those things. And I've got to tell you, that's something that I struggle with for a while, is that, you know, there are certain things that I would do or there are certain things that I wouldn't do just because I was worried about the label. You know, I was working one particular job and it was stressing me the hell out. And a very, very close friend of mine, who I just, you know, have complete adoration for, you know, she told me, she said, "Hey, look, you need to take a medical leave. You need to go away from this right now because it's not going to get any easier. Your health is not good. They're going to do away with you if you can't keep up. And I got to tell you, it's not getting better." But I thought, well, you know what? I've got the intelligence to figure this out, or somebody's going to come along and help me. And yeah, well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And, you know, I had that mentality because I didn't want to be seen as incompetent. And that's a word that's used a lot of times in the workplace. And it's definitely a word that more men use to describe people than women. I don't hear a whole lot of women call people incompetent all the time. I hear a lot of men say stuff like that. You know, there's a certain business language that men use that women tend not to use as much in workplaces, for example. And in fact, a lot of men, not only do they use that business language in the workplace, a lot of men use that business language at home. And we have some great motivational speakers. We have some great authors. We have some great business leaders and managers who have written books. I have a lot of these books myself. I don't discount these books, but a lot of those books even use that type of language for personal relationships. So if you've ever read a book and it says, "Oh, you need to make deposits in your relationship," and things like that. Well, that actually started because of people's focuses in corporate America. They were trying to do some things with their businesses. And then before you know it, men are coming home using that same language with their wives, with their spouses and partners, girlfriends, whatever, right? And folks are like, dude, you're not in the office right now. Anyway, the hallmark of mature manhood is how we acknowledge our diminishment, okay? It's not how we manage success. When we stop hiding from ourselves, the signs of us emerging as a mature hero or an alpha wolf will start to appear. You know, when I talk about diminishment and how we acknowledge that, it can be very, very liberating to say, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going through right now. Just yesterday, I was reading an article from Tiger Woods. Tiger is out there playing another tournament, and it's currently going on. And he bombed it yesterday. He did horribly. But in the article, that's exactly what he said. He didn't rationalize it. He didn't get angry with the journalists who were asking questions. He said straight up, hey, look, you know what? I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not 21 anymore. I can't stay on the golf course and practice for 5-6 hours a day. I've got other responsibilities. On top of that, I've had these surgeries that are very difficult to bounce back from. I'm just looking for some type of slither that allows me to get better in this tournament. I hope it happens. Okay. And I thought to myself, wow, that's so cool. Now, obviously, the media wanted to spin it a certain way. But here you are having a person like Tiger Woods just say, and Tiger Woods has all the right in the world to be vulnerable and to be transparent, because guess what? His stuff has been out there already. But it was great to see him just acknowledge that diminishment. And I think that acknowledging that diminishment, he may not come back and do well in his tournament, but psychologically, to be able to admit that all things aren't right, that goes a long way to healing. Okay. That's a very, very quick, like jumpstart way to get to healing. So think about that. You know, one of the other things that I wanted to mention is that when we recognize our mistakes, when we recognize and absorb our own vulnerability, we don't know all the answers, and we admit that we don't know all the answers, we can begin to get a little bit more comfortable with the loss of control. You know, these are lessons a man has to learn in order to become more realistic. And I challenge you guys, not only is this something that you have to learn like in a workplace, these are definitely things that you have to learn in your personal intimate relationships. Because over the years, I've seen a lot of guys who, just like women, have had fantasies about what relationships are supposed to be like. And oh my God, there are so many women out there who believe in this white knight type of guy that's just going to be everything to them and adore them 24/7 and text them all day long and do all these, just, you know, yeah. Anyway, look, the same way that there are women out there who think that, there are guys out there who, some of you guys think these things as well. Now, you may not think that your girl is supposed to text you all day and all of that kind of stuff, but you may believe that she's supposed to be your sex toy all day, that you're supposed to come home from work, she's supposed to drop to her knees and give you head, that she's supposed to run in the back, put on her lingerie or her sundress with no panties on and just be ready for you all the time. And guess what, guys? Doesn't work that way. You know, there's a particular website that keeps pushing around this article about Ayesha Curry and how she serves Steph Curry dinner first over the kids. And I've seen so many men push that out on social media. Because, you know, guys, we do stuff like that when we want somebody in our lives to do that, when we want to believe that this is the way things are supposed to be in society, we use social media to kind of do that thing, right? And there are a lot of guys who, that's what they want. Well, maybe that's not being realistic. I just got to tell you that. When you start to mature, you become more realistic about things, okay? You become more whole. You don't need somebody else to make you whole. And you leave being a two-dimensional person, and you leave two-dimensional people for three-dimensional living, both for yourself and for other people. Okay? How we react to setbacks and take responsibility for our actions, that molds our character. And it helps us to get to our rightful place in society rather than a false position. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of us have been reactive to things that we see in social media, reactive to things that we see on TV regarding manhood, masculinity, masculine identity, toxic masculinity, I think it's because we are not yet at a place where we are ready to sit down and talk about our vulnerability, our diminishment, and our responsibilities. Okay? Instead of being obsessed by competing for things or one-upping each other. And I think that men don't one-up each other the way that women do. See, we're a little different in how we do it. But when it comes to one-upping each other as men, you know, we simply use our egos, or our egos use us. And one particular thing that happens is we try to use our intellect. You know, we try to use our intellect. We try to impress people with what we know. And we try to use these words that are bigger and better. Like in this language, this male language that makes our argument, our debate more valid. So the other person goes away with his tail between his legs. We do that kind of thing, you see. And that's not going to help us mature. It won't. Now, the guy who is developing spiritually, the guy who is developing in a compassionate way, who is honing life skills, not just for now, but later, and well-rounded, those three-dimensional life skills, right? He's going to see a bigger picture. And he's going to start to see where people work with him and where he works with people. There's going to be a symbiotic relationship that he starts to develop with people. He'll no longer see everybody as a rival. Okay. And this is how we develop personal relationships. These impact our relationships with our children too. You know, and I want you to think about something that a guy, Nick Clements, said one time when it came to our children. And he was talking about sons particularly. He said our sons need to be exposed to emotionally intelligent role models and discussions of attendant values and traits. It's not a simple or easy path, but it's an essential process for boys and men that benefits them and everyone in their lives. So when we're talking about alpha wolf, alpha male, you know, I think a lot of times a lot of people will tend to think that the opposite of an alpha male is a beta male, right? So you've got this hard charging person who just runs over everybody all the time. And in a beta male, you got this guy who's docile, who doesn't know how to confront anything, who just backs away from confrontation and you know, all that stuff, whatever. It's just, and I can't even define all of this stuff for you. I don't want to define all of these things because, you know what, none of it's concrete. It's all social bullshit. None of it's concrete. It's not that I don't know it. It's that I just don't believe in the bullshit anymore. And that's kind of how I got to doing the things with the barbershop group and doing the podcast and speaking at different locations and talking to people about different things is I just let go of all of those definitions. Right? I was forced to. But I think that a lot of us don't want to look at setbacks. And I think it's a great opportunity to look at setbacks. Those setbacks turn us guys, turn us boys into men. You know, as you heard me say, there are individuals that I ran into who were asking me about people in my past work life. And their observation is that, wow, these guys are still doing the same thing that they were doing. You know, guys, I was doing that too. I was traveling around, calling shots, you know, with my laptop and on the flight and trying to go to this place. And I'll volunteer to do this to impress somebody and all that stuff. And guess what? It got me nothing. Nothing at all. But with anybody. Nobody came along and pat me on the back. Nobody gave me any accolades. Nobody gave me any recognition for anything. When they were ready to let me go, they let me go. And they moved on to the next person and convinced the next person that they had to do the same thing. Well, what do you think is going to happen to that person when they're done? You see? So think about those things. But it not only, again, it doesn't just pertain to work life. It also pertains to personal life. You know, I know this. A lot of guys are struggling for control in their relationships because, you know what, from what we see, let's just be real. From what we see out there, it looks like a lot of women want to control relationships too, right? So, yeah, you got two people who are trying to control this relationship. And the reality is, yeah, guess what? Nobody really has to control a relationship. It's a relationship, right? It's two chemicals. It's two people coming together and there's a natural reaction. And then you decide what you want to do because of the natural reaction that takes place whenever you have two bodies in the same room. You know, that's all it is, right? But I think that we have to assess how we use our intellect, how we use power. If we are really growing spiritually, relationally, right? We want to grow in our relationships. There are some things that we have to put down, you see. And lastly, I'll tell you something else that I experienced. You know, just the other day, I was speaking with an individual who was trying to tell me about some news article or whatever, and the guy pulled out his phone. And when he pulled out his phone, I happened to look down at it. And, you know, guys, if you use your smartphone a lot, if you go to a lot of websites a lot, your phone will tend to remember those websites, even if you don't have them stored in your favorites, it'll just pop up. Right. And unfortunately, I noticed that one of the websites that the guy frequents is a porn website. And I've had several conversations with this individual over time about relationships, about marriage. And slowly but surely, he's opening up to me, telling me that things aren't all okay. That, you know, there's a woman in his life who's giving him trouble. That he's married, but that's also giving him trouble. And at first, I'm like any other guy. I'm just listening and I'm like, oh, okay. But now I see this in his phone. And here is an individual who is struggling with relationships in his life with women, right? But you can see where he's involved in this two-dimensional type of behavior. Well, guys, I have to tell you this. You know, everything that we do impacts us psychologically and spiritually. Impacts us psychologically and spiritually. And if you think that you can be involved in a certain type of immature behavior down here, right, but have a mature relationship and understanding a spiritual relationship elsewhere, that you can compartmentalize your life like that, it does not work. Okay. And so maybe later on when I see this guy again, I'll sit down with him and have a conversation with him about moving through the maturity continuum, some things that we have to put down in order to get there, right? And how it happens. Some of it we can do, other things are just acted upon us, right? But that may be a conversation that I have to have. At any rate, guys, I thank you for listening to me ramble and talk about the journeying to maturity for men, how to, you know, turn setbacks into great experiences for us. You know, I hope that you've enjoyed some of the other podcasts. Next week, we will have several men on the show talking about the loner dad syndrome. So make sure that you tune in for that. We interviewed about six or seven fathers, different levels, right? All of them sharing their personal and professional experiences, becoming a dad, guys, losing friends, dealing with depression, just, you know, what it's like, to become a dad in a society or in an environment that doesn't necessarily support fathers. We'll also have Dr. Allison Mark, a licensed psychologist, clinical psychologist based out of Miami, Florida, on the show, who'll talk about some things that guys can do to kind of reconnect with their children and reconnect with their friends as well. So stay tuned for that. That'll be next Friday. So guys, you all be well. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.